Radio. Hello and welcome to the Student Radio Show on IM Radio this week with myself, Mark Hoskin, from the University of Westminster's Smoke Radio. If you are a new listener and want to keep up with any shows from the Student Radio Association, then follow us at SRA and We Are In Radio. Today's show is about sports, and for the next 20-odd minutes, we shall be travelling around the UK to bring you updates on the word that fills students with dread: varsity. Coming up, we head to Nottingham's URN and Fly FM, Westminster Smoke Radio, but first up, we head to Exeter with Expression FM's Green Machine.
Exclusive to Expression FM, your bi-weekly look at Buck Sport. This is the Green Machine.
Hello and welcome to The Green Machine on Expression FM, the first ever all Bucks sporting show. We're starting it in style with the water polo team, joined by Matilda and George.
I can't wait to talk about some touch rugby. That's our sport today, and we've got two special guests from the touch rugby club here at the University of Exeter. Harry Grocott, how are you doing today?
Yeah, good thanks, mate. Good thanks. Yeah, thank you very much for having us on.
Oh, glad to have you. And Mark Aldous, how are you?
Morning, love being back on the radio.
When we are joined here by some netball girls who have come fresh from one of their regional games and a regional win as well, which is good. So I'll introduce Lydia and Holly to the studio. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Why touch rugby is different to maybe the more traditional union that we have here?
Yeah, so one of the main differences, I would say, is that whereas most people played a bit of touch at school, the key difference is that every time there's a touch, you have to run backwards 5 metres, and that creates a lot of space for like attacking play and a lot of fun, and you've only got 6 touches as well, so you've got to be quick, and it's just a lot of running around and a really fast-paced game as well.
I think the basis of water polo is one ball, two goals and one swimming pool, and the rest, I don't know, everyone's still working it out, to be honest.
That. And I'm still with Will Cooper-Rondo talking about men's rugby, and we're going to talk about the varsity. What was it like as a member of the rugby club to be involved in an event like that?
In all honesty, there's a great sense of pride knowing that, you know, you obviously know the blokes, you know how much it means to them. We've got such a big society, and the guys show up, we all show our support, and when a team wins, we all win. I know that sounds ridiculous, but victory does peter down, and I think it certainly helps our team, the fours, just kind of, you know, get to the position that we're in and want to win as well. There is a buzz about it now.
So you are technically an elite high-performance side. Talk us through, like, a busy, you know, standard netball training week for a first-team player.
Yeah, sure. So we start training bright and early, Monday morning, 7 a.m. We have, like, hour of, like, wall work, which is literally, like, throwing a ball against a wall and improving on individual stuff. And then we're in the gym for an hour. And then we train in the evening for 2 hours. And then Tuesday we have off rest day because we have games on Wednesday. We train Thursday evening, Friday morning, not Saturday, and then Sunday we have games. But a lot of us coach and umpire and do loads of other stuff associated to netball as well, so it's pretty full on.
It's pretty full on. So netball's a massive part of your university lives, I suppose.
I spend more hours doing netball-related activities than I do doing my course.
100%.
How has your season been going?
It's been a hard season, to be fair. We've kind of been up and down. We had quite a strong start. We lost our coach then in November, so then an old coach from last year came back to help us out. It was quite kind of a hard transition.
We've had a lot of really, really close games that could have gone either way that we've kind of ended up on the wrong side of by maybe 2 or 3 goals.
We've had a tweet in, and unfortunately it is a ridiculous one. He said, Henry, huge fan of, that's not the ridiculous bit. Henry, huge fan of yours, can you ask if it's true that water polo involves teaching the horses to swim?
Oh, here we go. You did that on the posters, didn't you?
We had a little bit on our flyers about that.
I was going to say, how often have you heard that?
Will probably think
it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But
no, there are no horses involved in water polo, I can assure you.
But maybe if we get a bigger budget.
Massive 16-4 win for Exeter's women there, and for more information on all the latest sport in Exeter, just follow @expression_sport. Sticking with the varsity theme, let's head to Warwick's Raw 12:51 a.m., who introduce a netball team to Innuendo Bingo.
Your award-winning student radio station.
This is Your Raw.
This indeed is Your Raw, and I'm your head of sport, Tim Arston. I'm now joined in the studio by Sophie and Rian from Women's Netball, as before, because what we're going to do here is something a little bit special, because I'm a big fan of radio and sports. I'm a big fan of Radio 1, and there is a popular feature, of course, on Radio 1 called Innuendo Bingo. Recently, it was Varsity, and I'm just saying, you know, we have to reference Varsity. Well, we won, didn't we? You know. I'm just letting it soak in. I'm not going to get drawn into it. So basically, what I thought I'd do, just to kind of look back on it with a fond gaze, is get a few highlights of the commentary, which we did coverage for on Raw and Warwick TV, in a bit of an unconventional manner. So basically, guys, I'm guessing you've seen Innuendo Bingo before.
Yeah.
So if you could fill your cups with water and then maybe, like, take a sip of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do apologise in advance for this, because there are bin liners.
I also just ate. We have no idea what's going on.
There are bin liners on the seats. There are bin liners on the seats, but not bin liners on you guys. So
yeah.
this could get about to be this could be about to get a little bit wrong. Okay. So whenever you're ready, just take a mouthful of water.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I just try. If you spit the water out, try and do it away from the electrics, because the tech team are just they want me to make sure that nothing explodes. There's no danger here at all. I promise. So you ready? Okay, so here we're going to have the first clip from Innuendo Bingo. Don't swallow it, just keep it in your mouth. Hang on a minute, I've got a siren. I'm sorry, I will stop doing innuendos myself. So this first clip is one that involves you, actually, Sophie. A bit of a questionable way of describing how eager you are to get possession.
Come on.
12-9.
If you look at Sophie's face, she wants this ball.
Sophie wants it.
Rian has... Because it was Rian that said that. I mean, I didn't actually put the clip in, but I do remember calling the netball match a passionate affair.
Oh!
I didn't mean in that way. That clip's not on there. So, not that this is a competition, but how are you guys feeling after that one? Not too bad?
Well, that was all right. That was all right.
I think it's fair to say it gets a little worse.
Oh, God.
This again from the rugby. And they're finding themselves in a bit of a compromising pose. And our commentator, Niall Johnson, gets a little bit hot under the collar in this clip.
Brought him down there in quite a difficult position. But Warwick ruck over well.
Because what? Oh, Sophie. No. I'm so sorry. Because you went.
I went for the flooring. Rian.
No.
Sorry, you bent.
Because Sophie kind of went down and then you like spat it over her. Just oh my god. This is complete
that
chaos.
That's so rude.
I'm sorry, but it's only going to get worse from here, because
that was a funny one.
This next clip, I genuinely don't know what to say about. To say about this one, so I'm just going to play it. This is from the ice hockey, and let's just say Fraser and Jacob have a bit of an interesting relationship.
I will personally, I'll eat that pen. Fraser will eat my brown Stabilo pen. Other pens are available. And it's art.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
I got your face when you caught my knee.
The guilt I have. I mean, okay, no, this is absolutely hilarious. This isn't. I
feel quite bad. I feel quite wet. I keep going for the floor to me.
You say you feel quite wet. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Next Innuendo Bingo.
That'd be like Innuendo Bingoception. We're going to have an Innuendo Bingo of an Innuendo Bingo. Okay, so this final clip. Are you guys fans of the Naked Rowers?
I enjoy to look at them occasionally.
Fair enough. So Tristan and Lucas actually did an interview with me, which I never ever go on about and post all over my Facebook. It's nearly on 10,000 views, actually. You can catch it on YouTube.com.
10,000 views?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you not seen it?
No.
Well, it's interesting. Check it out. I might not send it to you. It's fun. So this is one from my interview with Tristan and Lucas.
Okay.
And let's just say Tristan gains something when he gets a little bit hot. Your height fluctuates based on temperature, Tristan.
Basic physics. obviously,
basic,
things
yeah.
expand with heat.
Do they?
So if it's a hot day, I'll generally have a few more inches.
I thought that was the worst one, but I'm impressed you guys have kept it together there.
I think it's because I knew what was coming. I think I saw it coming. The other ones, I just didn't see it coming.
You saw it coming?
Yeah. Oh, no.
feel like I'm quite culpable for some really cringeworthy radio right now, but I think this is absolutely hilarious. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
For more information on anything Warwick related, follow Raw_1251 AM. Let's head over to the Midlands now for Fly FM and Trent Talk, which involves a local derby between Trent and Nottingham at this year's Varsity.
This is Fly FM. Trent Sports Varsity Show 2016.
It certainly is. Welcome to Trent Sports Varsity Special. So for the men's football, it's been a little bit inconsistent. I know we've covered it quite a few times on Trent Sport Wednesdays in the past, over the last few months or so. Inconsistent is one word that I've used. I'm sure there's more words you could use. So going into this Varsity Series 2016, it's going to be a bit of a difficult one for them, isn't it, this year?
Well, they've had a good cup run. I think that's what they'll have to take their confidence from. Mixed form, but then Uniov as well have had a mixed season as well. So I think this is going to be a game that will literally go down to the wire. And I can see it being a really close encounter where it could even go further than the 90 minutes, personally, because it literally is that. Both teams have had pretty shoddy seasons by Nottingham expectations for their university football teams.
And now we're going to talk about American football. We've got James Ramsey, our American football expert. I know you've said that you're quite confident in this team this year, especially last year, if that's something to go by. We did win 14 points to 6.
Well, we can't sell past results, because of past results we've always won. There has not been a single game against Uniov for American football that Trent hasn't won. But speaking purely off this year, we've had a very up and down year where offense has not done quite as well as it could have and has made some rather tricky plays, and defense has bailed us out. But looking at Uniov this year, they're a very strong team, but they just don't have the drive to beat us. I think it's one of these sports that Trent reliably wins, and I don't think that's going to change this year, honestly.
One sport that certainly will contribute to this year's Varsity Series is the ice hockey. Last year was quite an emphatic battle between the two teams. We lost 4-3, and I think there was a few scuffles towards the end of that fixture as well.
As there always is in ice hockey.
Exactly, and especially between these two teams, I'd be very surprised. I mean, we're not saying it's necessarily right to do that kind of thing in a sport, but you can see to a certain extent why they'll do that, the players. I mean, it's a massive rivalry between two teams that have clearly got good qualities to their names.
They know each other as well, and that's what makes it even more important. These players are going to be playing. They've played together all season because they're a combined team. I don't know how many people know that, but they're in a combined team when it comes to ice hockey, because they're not involved with books. They're involved with another system, and it's essentially you've got a team from Nottinghamshire in the East Midlands. So that's composed of Uni of Nottingham, Nottingham Trent and Derby. All those players know each other quite well, so there's going to be a rivalry between them, because it's bragging rights for the next season again.
I think we're going to round the show off there. Thank you to Matt Asprey and Matt Lynch for their, as always, their good punditry, can we say, for the Varsity Special of Trent Sport this week.
Drama, rivalry, passion.
Meanwhile,
this is Varsity 2016 on Fly FM. We are In Radio.
You are listening to the Student Radio Association show on IM Radio. If you're enjoying the show today and want to keep up to date with all things SRA, say hello at SRA and We Are IM Radio. If you have any facts about Penguins, then include this in your tweet for our membership officer, Emma. Staying in Nottingham now, we have URN, who have an important interview with the university's hockey team, who are considering boycotting the Varsity.
Jack Tranter and Mary McCarthy, you're the presidents of both the men's and women's here at the University of Nottingham for the hockey club.
I'm the men's president.
And I'm the ladies' president.
Now,
nice.
I've been told by Mary that you've had a couple of issues with the way that ESU has set up hockey this year. Can you tell us what the grievances that you've sort of gone through?
Basically, this year we've had a bit of a problem with Varsity, because traditionally Hockey Varsity has been a whole club day. So you start off in the morning with the fives, ladies and men's, and then you kind of builds up, and then the climax event is like the ladies' ones and the men's ones, and that's kind of the big ticket game. And the problem for us is that, because basically hockey is fundamentally quite a boring sport to watch. It's not as fun as football, ice hockey,
or basketball. We accept that, we agree.
So for us, the only people who actually come and watch our sport are the people who play it. So it's not like ice hockey where anybody and their dog comes down, because it's just a fantastic event. For us, it's basically just a hockey club watching the people in your club play. And for the, especially the guys in the lower teams, it's the only time in your career that people come and watch it. So what happened this year was that the Varsity Strategic Board decided undemocratically, without notifying anybody, that they were going to get rid of our whole club day event. This worked quite well, and basically we've been kind of tweaking it year on year to make sure that, like, any problems, like people getting too drunk, we basically, like, you had a few more security, or you limit when the bar's open, you don't serve spirits, like just things like that. We've been kind of tweaking it to make the event run better and better, and this year it's been taken away. And obviously it's quite frustrating for us, because as a club it's useful. You can kind of use it as the carrot at the end of the year. Like, I mean, to put it in simple terms, if you're good, you've got Varsity. If you're good, you're bad or whatever, then you lose Varsity. So it's kind of like, it's good leverage for us as presidents, because obviously our necks on the line if things go wrong.
Also, last year we actually had the issue where the boys were punished for something completely unrelated to Varsity, but the punishment was then that the men's first team weren't, it wasn't the men's, it was the...
Basically, we had Varsity and Fasty.
Yeah.
So the men's ones played on one day, and the older club had to play on a separate day at a separate location.
And that was a punishment. That was more than what we're getting this year. So the whole ladies' club could play, and the men's first team played all on the same day. But as a punishment, the men's club played at a different time, different venue. But this year, they've just completely got rid of everything that essentially the university stands for. It's not engaging, it's not inspiring, and it's not excelling every single student at the university.
Now, Mary, when we last spoke, you said that the SU were planning to give you a response about why they're doing this, but they'd failed to do that by the deadline they'd set, and that they would contact you by the following Monday about why they've chosen to do this. Have they contacted you
they
yet?
They have. We have got the email as a response from the Varsity Strategic Board, essentially saying what we anticipated they would say. They actually finished the email off to say, we shall not continue this further or engage in any more discussion, therefore just putting a complete line under it. There has been no advances from the first email that they sent us, despite our infinite emails and trying to meet up with as many people as possible. They just have ignored it, essentially.
So basically this all started because back in January I was just kind of doing some club admin, and I realised I hadn't sent off the event form for Varsity, so I thought I'd just get it out of the way. When I submitted it, I then got told that the event had completely changed. And we're quite a proactive club together, and we're in the office quite a lot, so it's not like we've never had the interaction before. So that was kind of quite surprising, that we were kind of received via email notification that this whole thing had changed, which is quite a big deal for our club, because it's kind of like the pinnacle event at the end of the year. It's like a whole kind of club celebration. So to be told via email halfway through the year that this had changed, we hadn't been notified, there was no kind of like discussion on it. So then what we tried to do was we tried to compromise. They were worried about facility costs, they were worried about resources. We basically said that if you want more security, we'll fund more security. I think at one point we even offered to pay for the official Hockey Varsity if we could have our build-up event in the morning. There's now three pitches down at Beeston, so we said that they could play the official Varsity event on one pitch, and then we could use the two other pitches. But we were told that from 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the evening, the whole facility, so that's 3.5 Astro pitches and a clubhouse with change rooms, the whole facility needed to be reserved so that they could set up for two hockey matches.
Can I ask, what action are you prepared to take as a result of this, or do you feel that perhaps this is something that you're not able to fight back against?
So I think at the moment we're split in two minds. One of them is to just kind of grin and bear it and be like, well, it's a bit of a, it's just, you know, it's not a very comfortable position, but we'll have to do it and then have a separate club day. The other option is to basically just not take part in official Varsity, because for the players and for ourselves, I mean, whether Varsity's official or not doesn't really matter to us. I mean,
you don't get bucks points, you don't get extra funding, you don't get anything.
So basically what we've said is that, and what we're probably, well, what we're angling towards with Trent, and Trent is very supportive of this, is basically to not take part in official Varsity and then run our own club day event.
For more information and to keep up to date on the hockey team's boycott or anything URN related, follow them at URN Sport. Next up, we head to my home turf, London, and more specifically, Westminster's Smoke Radio. We shall bring you our own Varsity highlights, but we also have Dom Betts, who has created his own podcast called The Football Hour.
This is the Fulham podcast on The Football Hour.
That's right, you're listening to The Football Hour, and this is the Fulham podcast with me, Dom Betts. And today we're joined by another Fulham fan. But this week, it's not a Joe. Today, we're joined by Christian Paul. So I'll let him introduce himself right now.
My name is Christian Paul. I started supporting Fulham ever since I went to my first game in 2006, 2007, Fulham v Watford.
And if people want to find me on Twitter, it's cpaul_ffc.
So if we start off, when I recorded a podcast 1 week ago with Joe, we were 1 point above the relegation zone. But in the last week, we've won two games. Obviously, MK Dons at home, which you won 2-1. And again, 2-1 midweek at Preston away. You've been to both games. And in those 7 days, Djukanovic has doubled his win tally for the club. So in the last week, what would you say has changed in the club? Because obviously, we weren't winning games and we just won two on the bounce.
I mean, I'd say what's changed is I think now, especially at Preston, it just looks like we're defensively a lot stronger. I'm not sure if that's down to sort of Danny Byrne being taken out of the squad or if that's down to sort of Savisa sort of changing it up and doing a bit more defensive training. For Preston away, it was very, very scrappy from both teams, but I think overall we just looked a lot more solid. Amboyeta and Maddo looked like a good pairing. I mean, the defence has changed massively this season. I mean, we've seen numerous changes at the back, from sort of Stearman at right back, Fredericks, Richards, Riemann and Garber at left back, Nando at left back. So I think overall defensively we just looked a lot stronger.
To start with Scott Parker, in the last three games he has played 90 minutes in each game, and there was probably about 10 minutes of stoppage time in the Preston game, but he's been the best player on the pitch a lot of the time. And this is ridiculous, because what is he, he's like mid-30s now, maybe late 30s. He hasn't been playing this well probably since his first season in the Premier League for us, I mean, perfectly honest. I mean, he's often been labelled as slowing our play down, but he's just been phenomenal in the last month or so. And it's good to see, because he realistically should be our best player, because on paper, with his experience, you know, he just should be. And it's also got to do with his partnership with Rohan Ince. That's been immense, and we're really going to miss Rohan Ince tomorrow, because obviously you can't play against his parent club, Brighton. But I don't know how he's lasted 390 minutes, because it's probably been around 200 minutes with stoppages, because there was about 10 minutes of additional time in the Preston game. But it's just been immense, and I hope he continues to form up until the rest of the season, the last five games to go, I believe. In
radio. Right, it's the final event of Varsity, the one everyone has been waiting for, the men's first team football on the main pitch here at Chiswick. Myself, Callum Denning, Lucy Lavery alongside me. It's been a long, long day at Varsity. Many, many beverages have been consumed, but Lucy, the fans are starting to arrive and they're in high spirits. It's a penalty to the University of West London. It looked harsh, to be fair, from the referee's point of view, but you can see why he gave it. UWL have the chance to put themselves in the driving seat of this match, Lucy.
He does look confident. I'm just waiting to see how this pans out. My faith's with them. Let's just see what happens. Let's wait.
You can hear the sirens coming from the megaphones of the Dragons fans. They do not want to see this go in. We don't want to see this go in. Come on, keeper. He steps up, the number 7 for West London. Oh, it's the 15. He scores! The UWL fans are on the pitch now, swarming the goal scorer. Need I remind them that they cannot win Varsity 2016. UWL have equalised, but the referee has pointed over at his linesman. The flag is up and the goal will not stand, much to the delight of the Westminster fans down in the stands below. It remains Westminster Dragons 1, UWL Titans 0.
There I am, hoping for some more goals though, just before half time. 1-1 at the moment.
Here you go, there's an attack coming though, Lucy. There's a decent touch on the chest there by the number 12. Gets it out wide to the winger, who plays it through, and it's intercepted by UWL. Chance still on though, headed. Bit of head tennis. Still not dead in the middle of the park. Hoofed into the box. The UWL defender tracking back. Hoofs it clear out to his left winger, the number 11, who has got a turn of pace and a half. It's like watching a fat kid told that the sweet shop is about to close. As Westminster going hard on the tackle though, and start to launch a break of their own. That is a great touch. But again, UWL are equal to it. But it's a wet pitch and they are going down.
The half-time whistle has been blown at the men's football. Great gameplay though by both teams. What do you make of it?
You know what? It's end-to-end and I don't think the Dragons fans can ask for much more. I know the UWL fans currently dominating the atmosphere in the stands. Hopefully that changes in the second half. But for me, Dragons have shown a lot of promise. And I think in the second half, attacking the other end now, does seem to me, right, you might think this is a slight hint of bias, a little bit of a slope on the pitch. If anything, now Dragons have the chance to attack at speed and win. Some inflammatory songs now coming from the University of West London fans, implying that Westminster is full of human faeces. I can assure you that is not true. Westminster is a wonderful place.
Oh, Okay, so less than a minute to go. The score still stands at 1-1. Either way, we've won it.
We're in amongst it now. The crowd are counting down. I can see feet on the pitch already. We've had one go too early. We don't want to see those scenes. But when that final whistle goes, the scenes that are going to happen are what we've been waiting 1 year for. The trophy's coming home and the fans are taking it with them.
It is sore, but that was definitely worth it. It stays in Westminster.
Lucy, we are the champions. The champagne is flying on the pitch.
Let's get it, Mark.
Westminster. Westminster. I've lost sight in one eye, but it's worth it. I'm coated in champagne. But the Dragons are champions. Come on.
That is all for today's SRA show on In Radio. I've been Mark Hoskin from Smoke Radio, and if you've enjoyed the show and want to be alerted whenever a new episode is live, follow us at SRA and at We Are In Radio. You can also catch up on the show by following us on Audioboom, and you can find the link in the description below, along with all the student radio stations who have kindly sent in their audio to make the show happen.
Online 24/7 and worldwide, In Radio.